20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perhatch, joined always by the Reverend and Model UN. What's up, kids?
Oh, man.
I've been saving that for so long. Like a whole week, I've been saving this joke, and I was like, I'm going to tell him. No, I can't tell him. I'm not going to spoil it. So, Reverend, how did everything go?
Went great. Only went off with one hitch, Steve.
Well, okay.
No.
What'd you do?
It went really well. It was out at, if you know the Kentucky area at all, it was out at Red River Gorge, which is a nice kind of hiking area. It was kind of overlooking a cliff face. The ceremony itself was down in the woods. No one fainted.
I did not stumble.
I didn't really mess up at all. Everyone ended up married at the end, and then I DJed the reception at the end of it as well. And that also went well. So yeah, overall, a really good night for my first wedding ceremony. Could not have asked for anything better. It was amazing.
The Reverend of like dudeship, is that where it's from?
It's the church. I'm a dudist priest. I'm a dudist. Dudist priest from the Church of Latter-day Dudes. That's what I wrote on the, I had to write that on the wedding certificate. Yeah, like the marriage certificate document. Was the Church of Latter-day Dudes is on the wedding certificate.
Outstanding. I love it. I love it. It's perfect.
I loved your thread of like when you were there and it was the picture and it was such a pretty venue. And then you post a selfie under it. You're like, nailed it. And then it was your like DJ stand. And I think you said like, let's dance or something like that. Or now let's dance. And I was like, this is so wholesome. He's having so much fun.
I was really proud of myself. And I had an absolute blast, man. The first song to kick off the reception was, Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody, and that absolutely killed. Ooh, just everyone went nuts. It was it was incredible. Good day.
I am actually going to a wedding this weekend, so I don't know if it will be officiated by a dudist, but we'll see.
And if they need someone and they'll pay fees, just let me know. Come on down.
Dusty has no problem flying to Florida. It'll work.
No, just pay a modest retainer and I'll be good to go.
Sarah, how's Florida?
It is good. Tomorrow it is getting in the 60s here, so it is officially winter time for us Floridians. No, but on a serious note, I'm very excited because it has been disgustingly hot. Last week it was still in the mid-90s, and it was awful. And so this week it has rained every single day, and usually I'd be very annoyed, but now this rain is supposed to bring in some slightly cooler air. So this is very exciting. Everyone in my classes and everything, it has been ridiculous. We've been kind of like one more day, and then we can like walk to class without sweating, and like, so it's a very exciting time in Florida right now because it's officially quote-unquote fall time. Whether it feels like it or not, but for us this is a big deal. We open up the windows and everything, so
open windows and everything. Yes. It's exciting.
So I'm excited. I hate the hot weather. I hate it. So I enjoy when it starts to get cooler here.
Sorry. So you hate the hot weather since you live in Florida?
Well, I hate it. Like when I go anywhere else in the U.S., I'm like, oh, it's so much better. Or even if it's hot, it's a different kind of hot. The humidity here is just disgusting. And I mean, I'm used to it because I've lived in it my whole life, but it's nasty and I don't like it.
Sure, that makes total sense. Total sense. All right. The Green Bay Packers are 4-1.
Let's go.
Sarah is 3-2 on her predictions.
Yeah, and I am happy that I was wrong. Again, you were tweeting.
I know.
Sarah said the Cowboys were going to win. You literally left out the Giant section after where I really hope I'm wrong.
It's no fun to point that part out. I just want to prove that you were wrong.
Sarah, it's for the best if you don't pay attention to Steve. Just in general, I was going to say something else after that and I decided not to. Just don't pay attention to Steve and your life will be better.
Jackassery has already started. Okay, cool.
I decided that this week or in every other week, I'm just going to pick what I don't want to happen or what I don't think is going to happen because I'm so bad at this that it'll just be the opposite.
come on, you're 3-2. You made one bad pick. It's not that big a deal. But the Packers won. They won 34-24. They were out to a 31-3 lead. So we haven't talked to Packers Nation through this podcast for the three of us about what happened. So, Dusty, why don't you hit me? What were your just overall takes from the game?
I mean, we talked at length last week. I feel like at length, I don't know. We did offense versus defense, I guess. But I know one of the fears kind of going in was the way the Packers run defense looked against the Eagles versus, you know, kind of going up against. And we talked, I think we talked about that with the tackles being out and how that might shake things, but they're going up against the Cowboys, who traditionally like to set the run before they start passing too much. That's been their motto for a while. They did so well against the run. Just from like after, and part of that was, you know, they got out to that big lead. They maybe forced the pass a little bit more, but they played pretty well against the run. You know, a couple big chunks early on. So I thought that was. I really like that. I think going into that game was the Eagles game to me was kind of, it was a short week, so you never really can think too much, but you hate those losses where it may expose kind of a fatal flaw, something that people can exploit. And that Eagles game was, you could say it's a short week, but you could also say, well, it's been a couple weeks in a row now that the other team has been able to run on them, and maybe they're very good except for like a terrible, terrible run defense. So I feel much better about the team after doing what they did against the Cowboys in their run game. So I think that was my take. I mean, you know, it got a little more interesting down the stretch. Thank God for the Cowboys kicker for missing a couple kicks, including that one big one, so we didn't have to suffer an onside kick. But, yeah, I don't know. I think coming out of that, I feel much better than I did. Well, clearly, I feel better coming out of the win than I do against a loss, I guess. But that run defense doesn't concern me quite as much as it did. So it's exciting.
Yeah, thank God for that false start. I mean, that was
That was
shocking. Like as soon as he booted that kid to right, I'm like, oh my God, I love it, but man, what a horrible time for a false start. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as he kicked it and it was good, and they called it back, I literally said out loud, I was like, he's gonna miss it now. I feel like that always happens. They make the first one, and then it just doesn't work out, and it's unfortunate, but luckily it fell our way that time.
Yeah, I mean, even then, like, it was still, what, a 33-yard kick? Like, it's not like it knocked him from, like,
32, yeah.
55 to 58 or something. Like, it's, or, I'm sorry, 55 to 60 or something. Like, that was still a very, very bankable kick.
The very, very uncommon 3-yard penalty.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he false started 2 yards down the field. Kind of nuts.
Yeah, it was just an exciting game. Like, you saw the offense kind of take off. I mean, I love the fact that Aaron Jones was completely featured in this offense. And again, this is something I will say is like, oh, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones should be in the same amount of touch. No, that's complete crap. You saw Aaron Jones, like, every time he's featured, he just breaks out, and all of a sudden, the Packers start flying on offense. And that was my big takeaway. Like, he's a stud. I want him to get the ball in that capacity, like the run game, the pass game. Like, that's just the way that they're going to succeed. And I really hope that it's not going to be this week is going to be 5-6 carries and 5-6 catches. And I'm a little fearful that's what's going to happen, because their offense is kind of adapted quite well to defenses. But Aaron Jones is my big takeaway. So that's kind of where we sat. The Packers are 4-1 Monday Night Football against the Lions. It's going to be fun. We've got a couple of news and notes. Nothing really big has happened since they're playing on Monday night, so we don't actually have an injury report to talk about today. So there's one thing to talk about. The Packers signed Ethan Wolfe to the practice squad. I mean, are you guys good? Or that's pretty much, we're all covered, right?
So
he's a tight end. He's signed to the practice squad at their last open spots. He is from the University of Tennessee, undrafted last year, really kind of like tagged on to a couple practice squads here and there through a couple training camps. No meaningful time in the NFL, so it's kind of a nothing burger, pretty much.
Yeah, I actually looked at, I watched some Tennessee highlights, and the video I found was only like, not even the routes, just legitimately him catching balls and then turning up field. He did not run the 40 at the combine. His estimated 40 time was like 4.9. Oh. Yeah, not great. That's my contribution. Not great. He's a body.
Yeah, not super excited about that one. However, something that popped up on Twitter today, the Buccaneers have released Deion Buchanan. So he's kind of that hybrid line, inside linebacker, safety role, you know, a Raven Green, Redmond, like that type of role. Is this something that you guys would potentially think the Packers should take a flyer on? Because, you know, as we all know, because everybody's who listens to this is most likely in tune with Cheesehead TV, and Nagler will always, as soon as somebody's released, as soon as a free agent comes around or a trade comes around, he'll post. He'll say no, or maybe, like that. That's it. I don't think I've ever seen a yes from him. Anybody ever seen a yes from him?
I feel like I've seen a yes, but I'm blanking on what it was. But I do feel like I've seen a yes. Like this offseason, I feel like I saw
something close
one.
To it.
Yeah.
Something close to a yes.
But my there favorite. Was a, this was a maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, your favorite. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say my favorite one of his was the Antonio Brown one. And it's just a video. And it's like, should the Packers sign Antonio Brown? And it's just a video of him, and it's 5 seconds long. And he just looks at the screen and he takes a very deep breath and he goes, no. And the video just ends. It's so good.
Yeah, it's outstanding. I will forever say that I thought that was a good idea. And I'm so unbelievably happy to be proved wrong on that. That was a just would have been horrible, horrible thing for the Packers to bring in Antonio Brown. But what do you think? Deion Buchanan, like, you know me, I've been beating the drum for an inside linebacker. I don't think they should be comfortable with what they have. I want somebody, you know, like the Roquan Smith. I want a stud inside linebacker, and the Packers haven't had that in decades. Is that right?
I go Nick Barnett.
Like, was he like, a stud though?
Nick Barnett was incredible. I think people forget how good Nick Barnett was because he faded a bit and then he kind of battled injuries and stuff. Like Nick Barnett at peak Nick Barnett was like, it was incredible. Like good closing speed, sideline to sideline linebacker. That's my go-to.
That was how long? That was like 2005?
It was a very long time ago. It was a very long time
ago. I mean, that's... For me, this is the kind of guy that I would bring in. I think this makes your 53-man roster better. I think it gives Oren Burks competition, Ty Summers competition. Like, I think he jumps right into that potentially number two role, and he can go with Redmond as a third safety. Like, I think that's something that could be really good. We've kind of discussed a little bit before this started what happened with him, because he signed with the Buccaneers and on a 1-year kind of prove it deal, and he was in a system that he was comfortable with, and they played him in 8 defensive snaps. So we're still trying to figure out what happened. Like, Sarah, you've got a friend at like Bucks Nation or something, right?
Yes. Yeah, so one of my good buddies, Bailey, he's a writer at Bucks Nation, and he does all sorts of stuff for them. And so I texted him before this and said, hey, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts on him? And just kind of getting a general like synopsis of what's going on here. And he said when they signed him, he was really excited and interested to see what he would do, and that he was already familiar with some of the system and with some of the staff because he was originally back in Arizona. And then he said the season came and he pretty much completely forgot about him. He mentioned the eight defensive snaps in 5 games as well. And he said it was bizarre because there was like this hype around him when he joined the team. And then it was all of a sudden he just kind of dropped off. No one knew why. They didn't see him. And now he's kind of just like, I'm whatever about it. I don't feel strongly about it either way. But yeah, my buddy Bailey, who's at Bucks Nation, said it was a little weird and there was just nothing going on there.
Yeah, we were kind of discussing a little bit too, just because couldn't quite figure out why they would bring him in, and then started discussing a little bit. So they sign him. They have Lavonte David on the roster already, and then drafted Devin White. So, I mean, I think he was 5th overall. So, I mean, that guy, obviously that guy's going to start right away. And then you pair him with Levante David, that kind of that role that he was probably brought into, it kind of disappeared pretty quickly. I don't know. And then they've got Kevin Minter as well. Like, he doesn't have, like, there's just not the depth. Their depth is actually really good. And they actually even have Jack Citchie as like a third on the depth chart. So I think I'd be open to it. We were kind of toying around with who you would want to cut from the Packers 53. Dusty, where did you stand on that aspect?
Yeah, I went with it's tough to make cuts, but I just think based on, we've talked about it here before, but the kind of the roster churn thing that that Gutekunst likes to do, where he's kind of, you're picking out a guy, or you're seeing if something shakes, if not, if something doesn't, just a constant kind of releasing and signing of the bottom, just to see kind of who shakes out. I think it's almost like a last man in type of thing. So for me, it's Tim Williams. I know we talked about Tim Williams last week, and it was kind of an intriguing pick, but that's a pick that, if it hits, that's exciting, but also if it doesn't, you can cut him and not really, you can cut him for someone that may be able to help you a little bit more and not really kill yourself too much over it. So I think just based on what I think Buchanan could bring, if he is the Deion Buchanan that that I know a lot of us remember, and like we said, we don't know exactly what's been going on with him this year. I think Tim Williams to me seems like the no-brainer. I think Tim Williams or Tremon Smith are kind of my two. It's tough to make many other cuts, man.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Sarah. What are you thinking?
You're good.
Tremon Smith was one of the ones we talked about, just because, you know, kickoffs are really not doing much anymore. And if you're trusting Shepard with the punt returns, he's probably good enough to be able to do a kick return and, you know, let the ball fly over his head. So that would probably be my aspect. I did kind of take a peek at some of the cornerbacks at the bottom end, you know, Holloman or Chandon Sullivan. And if you're telling me I have to cut a cornerback or I have to cut a kick returner, yeah, I'm probably going to kick returner. Yeah. That kind of makes the most sense to me. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes, if he thinks he's got a chance to start, that kind of stuff. So just something to monitor, because anytime anybody gets cut ever from any team, the Packers fans always start clamoring. As soon as, like, anytime it's like, oh, this guy might be up for a trade. Oh, Nagler, what is it going to happen? Is he going to trade? No. So, but I thought this was one that actually could potentially help them with their inside linebacker non-depth, I guess I would call it. So, and you guys know, that's near and dear to my heart. I've been pining for inside linebackers for as long as we've known each other.
Well, and like based on what Petten likes to do too, which is kind of go a little DB heavy, you don't kind of know who's covering who and where the pressure is coming from. Buchanan, if he's the Buchanan that we kind of think about when we think of like kind of when he came in, as we kind of talk about one of the first kind of hybrid linebacker DB guys that really kind of hit and hit big. If he is that guy, he could fit really, really well in a Petten system. It's just a matter of kind of where he is right now. But that seems like a guy who could play inside linebacker or drop back would be perfect for the kind of chaos that Petten likes to kind of breed up front.
Completely agree. We are five games into the season. The Green Bay Packers are sitting at 4-1, and I don't know if any of us actually thought this was possible. So just wanted to kind of do a quick recap of the season and talk about what you guys like, what you don't like. I mean, we know Dusty writes articles all the time and likes the schemes, but just a general recap, like give me one thing you are really excited about for what you've seen so far, surprising, and then one thing that you're hoping they can kind of work on as they go. So, Sarah, let's start with you.
So something that's been exciting for me, and I don't want to say unexpected, but I guess I wasn't totally ready for it to happen, was Rodgers playing more conservatively. And I think he is doing so in the right ways. And I'm sure a lot of you guys that are listening, listened or read up on his interview with Favre and their conversation that they had. And, you know, the basic takeaway from it was Roger said, I've statistically accomplished so much as a quarterback and I can't really do much more statistically. And he was saying that Favre really taught him that at that point in your career, you start thinking about wins and that's what matters, and championships and winning the games. And I know a lot last year, people were kind of criticizing Rodgers and getting on him saying, oh, he's playing hero ball. He's trying to do this and that. And he wants to be this kind of player. And people were kind of comparing him to Tom Brady, saying he has to be able to adapt to like different teams and the system and everything if he wants to maintain, you know, a higher level of play for a long time. And I think we're starting to see him realize that too. So I thought he was going to get to that point eventually, but I don't know if I was like, oh, this year is definitely the year that Aaron Rodgers is going to click with that and kind of start to play more conservatively. So that's kind of been surprising to me, but it's also been really interesting to watch. And I think it's working in their advantage. I know Dusty, when we were talking before this, you said after the game, Rodgers said, oh, you know, this was my best game that I felt I played, and he didn't throw a touchdown pass. But that, I think, goes a long way in saying that his mindset is a little bit different, but it's only for the benefit of the team. So that's something that I've kind of been impressed with so far. And as far as what I'd like to see them do, I'd really like to see them play a game consistently through on the defensive side of things. It seems like there's always a quarter or there's always a couple drives in a row where they really let things slip. And if they have a significant lead, they kind of let a team creep back in a little bit. So I'd like to see just a full-fledged. There has been, I think, maybe one or two, so about half of their games, where they have had that almost full performance, but really seeing them finish a game out from beginning to end, they've improved in a lot of ways and look really great in compared to what they did at this time last year. But I think just finishing that up a little bit, polishing that off, and playing some more full, complete games is something I'm hoping we will see more as the season goes on, too.
Yeah, I like, and Steve, you mentioned it, I'm pretty deep into the passing scheme stuff. I'd say probably more than a lot of people, which is, you know,
for no, good, don't say for, that
for good or ill, I guess.
Most
probably.
People are that deep into the passing scheme.
I really think you're stretching with that, Dusty.
I don't like to assume what most people do with their time is a thing. They're free to live their life however they want to live and do whatever they want to do, so they can do what they feel. So, yeah, I mean, just watching what this offense has been doing week to week. I mean, we're starting to see more, you know, the big LaFleur thing, obviously, that a lot of people have been talking about, and kind of the phrase I believe he started using was illusion of complexity. And I've talked about that before, but that's it's two different ways. It's running the same plays out of different formations, and it's running different plays out of the same formation. And so we're starting to see that a little bit more now. I mean, it's I was talking this past week. I was on Locked On Packers, and I talked to Peter Bukowski about that a bit, about like how we're starting to see now. It's hard to. The whole thing with the LaFleur thing is you set up these tendencies and then you run counter to those. You know, you kind of run those same looks, but you run something different out of those. It's hard to do that under a first season if you've not actually set up your tendencies with that personnel. So we've seen like the first 3 to 4 games so far has been kind of a lot of setting a lot of that stuff up. Some of it kind of basic, but even, you know, I wrote earlier this week that came out on Tuesday about the Vitale. We talked about that in the Broncos game, that Vitale vertical release up the middle. Well, we saw now two variations of that just run in this pass game alone off of that, off of one of them, Vitale running the wheel and they run a screen behind it. Another one was Vitale running it out when they're playing that wheel. So you're getting that stuff now where you're starting to see those. And every week you're getting more of that. You're seeing some of those tendencies that have been set up and the playbook is expanding week by week. So seeing how that's working, and then, I mean, this whole offseason I've been watching the Tennessee tape and just saying, how's this going to look under Packers personnel? Well, now we're seeing it, and it's really, really exciting, I think, just kind of looking at and seeing all that. So that was kind of my big takeaway, a big thing to be excited about through 5 weeks is this team is still, this team's still not on the same page with some of this stuff. And Sarah mentioned, some of the playing a complete game type of stuff. The fact that they're still figuring some of this stuff out and they're 4-1 is remarkable, but then also kind of seeing what they've set up so far and what they're going to be running off of that going forward and be able to actually see some of that in practice so far has been amazing. So that's been one of my big takeaway offensively. I've been really, really excited about, and say the one thing not as high on, I just talked about how I don't think the run defense was a fatal flaw. I think they cover that up against the Cowboys game. I think there's still reason to be concerned there. So it's something to keep an eye on. It's not keeping me awake at night. The other parts of the team are so, so good that it seems minor-ish because they're not going to run up against a whole lot of teams that are as run-heavy or that game plan as well as, say, the Eagles do, or as run-heavy as, say, the Cowboys like to do. But that is something to keep an eye on. So it is something that run defense has been less than stellar. Those are my couple things.
I absolutely love that, too, because I heard a interview with Alan Lazard. And he was on, I think, like 105.7 The Fan down here in Milwaukee. And they do, you know, like a thing with Packers players every single week, and he was talking about how the Packers have 20 offensive plays. And I just kind of sat there and I was like, what the hell do you mean you have 20 offensive plays? Like, that makes legit no sense. And then he starts going into the fact that they have, off of each play, you have 20 other plays.
Mm-hmm.
Of there's other manipulations, there's other routes to run. Like, so you're showing these guys these same initial 20 sets, and then you can run 20 different other things off of it. And it's kind of like, it's just so refreshing coming off from Mike McCarthy of like, I'm going to cram this one play down your throat and we're just going to do it, as opposed to like, no, we're going to adjust. We're going to do that. Like, so it's very cool. Like, it's a lot of fun to watch. I think the one thing I have really enjoyed from this first five games of the season is that the Packers, when they win their games, they're doing it in different ways. Like I just said, Mike McCarthy's old school way of, this is our offense, we're going to do it no matter what your defense is, it stopped working. And it got really old, and I think Packers fans got really tired of it. So the fact that they are looking at scheming different ways and game planning different ways to win these games, I love that. I'm all for it. Like, I understand that means Aaron Jones might not get the ball all the time, but I can digress. Like, I can put that aside because they are looking to attack these defenses in the smartest possible way. And that's what the NFL is about right now, which is a welcome sign for me as a Packers fan. So I am digging that. Dusty, I'm kind of backing you up on the whole run defense. I'm a little bit shocked that they stopped Zeke as much as they did. I think that had a little bit more to do with the fact that they were down 31-3 than the fact that, because, you know, early in the game, Zeke was eating pretty hard. Like, he was getting 6-7 at a clip. And if it didn't get that out of hand that quick, he probably would have been well into the 150s. So that would be my only reason for concern. Like, I love the fact that he didn't go over 100, but it's something that is definitely to keep an eye on. So let's jump right in. Packers offense versus the Lions defense. What do you guys got for me?
When I look at these things, what I always try to do, I generally start with kind of Football Outsiders matchup stuff, and I look at kind of where is one team strong and the other team weak, whether that's, you know, passing game, running game, whatever. And so I'm looking at, what are the Packers offense doing well, or what are the Packers offense doing poorly, and what's the Lions defense on the other side. And so sometimes I just get very basic. I get with, like, they're good against the pass, and this team's bad against the pass. But sometimes I have to go a little more situational, so that's what I did today. So I decided to kind of look to see what the Packers are doing on early downs, specifically first down. So when looking at first down, and this is something I feel like they've been doing a little bit more, has been passing on first down. When passing on first down, the Packers by Football Outsiders DVOA are fourth in the league when passing on first down, and 26th when rushing on first down. And currently, the Lions are 18th defending the pass on first down. So the Packers, just from that, I took, okay, Packers could find success if they pass early. But I wanted to kind of get a little deeper and say, okay, where can they target this area? Where can they do the most damage? So if they're passing on first down, this is where they go. When targeting the short middle area of the field, which is within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, the Packers are averaging 7.8 yards an attempt on 83.3% completion. And they target that area about like 15% of the time. When they pass to the right or the left, they complete 62% of their passes versus 83 for 5.4 yards per attempt versus 7.8. Now, when defending that same area of the field on first down, the Lions are giving up 7.3 yards on 75% completion, as opposed to 5.1 yards and 62% completion right or left. So this is, and just to kind of run that back a little bit. So when targeting the short middle on first down over the right or left, the Lions are giving up 2.3 more yards per attempt in the middle area and a 12.8% higher completion percentage, while the Packers are averaging 2.4 yards more per at a 21.3% higher completion percentage. So I'm looking for what the Packers could find success: pass early, pass on first down, target that middle. Packers are strong there. That's the Lions' weakest area. So that's what I'm looking for. Please, please do that.
You're like, I don't ask for much.
Yeah, just, I'm a simple man. I am a simple man.
Have LaFleur's phone number. Like somebody through this whole thing has to have like a LaFleur connection. There's got to be somebody that can get you his email, his phone number, like get like a text him or email him. And
I assume he would block me immediately. So that's
yeah, but you not, know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you've got some very valid points. Like as long as you're not a jackass to him like you are to me, I'm sure he'd listen.
Well, here's what he does. And Matt, I'm speaking to you. Matt, he listens to this, old Matty LaFleur. He listens to this and then does it because
Isn't he the same age as you?
I think he's a couple years older. No, he is the same age. He's 39.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. I feel he's a couple months though. I feel like I'm younger than him. I am the younger one in this relationship. So I feel like he listens, he does what I say, but then he takes the credit for it. Because I'm giving this to him for free, you understand. This is I think that's what's going on right now, which is cool, man. Just as long as you keep winning, Matt, you do whatever you want to do. I speak to you in the first name.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We are friends now.
I'm just going to refer to him as Matt now the rest of this podcast. So as far as something I'm looking forward, just what I think would be important for this game. I don't know. I lost what I was going to say mid-sentence there. Anyways, moving on. So I'm very curious to see what Matt and Aaron Rodgers come up with in this game. Matt and Aaron.
It's just Aaron. Yeah.
What am I doing? God.
We're on a first name basis with these guys now.
So the other Aaron J, obviously had a fantastic game last week. So I'm very interested to see if they utilize him in a similar way, kind of what Steve talked about before, and if the Lions will be ready for that. I don't know if they will. I think it's very interesting. Something that I kind of read up a little bit on before this was that the Lions are notorious for in past seasons for kind of exposing some weak spots and some very hot offenses. So with the Rams last year, they exposed them a lot. And I know Belichick afterwards credited back to the film that they watched on that game after the Patriots beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. And they were saying that they really exposed a lot of things and opened up a lot in their game plan for how they were going to approach that based on the way that they played against the Rams. So I think that's interesting, but I also think it's not something to worry about a lot because I think we know the Packers where their weaknesses are, and especially if Devontae Adams isn't playing again this week, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the receivers and what goes on there and if they're going to, you know, stay on the ground a little more than usual. So I think our offense is easily going to hang with their defense. It's just, what's our game plan going to look like? How's Matt going to, you know, adjust? And we'll go from there.
I like that you kept with it through the whole thing. That was great, Sarah.
You got to be committed when you do something like that. You can't check it out halfway through. So
even did Aaron J. I like the Aaron J. a lot.
Kind of piggybacking on what Sarah's talking about, I'm looking at the game plan because what I talked about earlier was they're adjusting their game plan weekly. So I want to see how they think they can attack the Lions' defense. I want to see what Matt thinks is their weaknesses, where his offense can definitely attack that. And so it's pretty, pretty simple, but I'm hoping that he continues to adjust the offense to how he thinks it can best hurt the weaknesses of their defense and kind of go from there. So the defense I feel is going to be fine. Like Kerryon Johnson's a good running back, but I still feel that they'll be able to, you know, keep him under control. I'm a little worried about Kenny Golladay because that's a big, big bodied wide receiver. And like, he's good. I like him a lot. Like he's going to be wreaking havoc in the NFC North for a long time. And I'm looking at the other thing I'm looking for is a Jaire Alexander bounce back game.
Yeah.
Because he bit pretty hard on multiple first moves. And I want to see what he does now. He came back at the end of the game and make some good plays, which is a great sign, but I want to see it again. I want to see him come back and have a strong game. So I'm looking for some good stuff from the offense, seeing if they can, you know, do some things that the Lions haven't seen yet. And I want to see Jaire Alexander Kevin King. I want to see those guys continue to have some good games against the passing game. So let's hit some scores. Dusty and I are sitting at 4-1 records along with the Green Bay Packers. Sarah is sitting at a 3-2 record. So the loser will be having the first pick in the draft. What's your score, Sarah?
I am going to say that the Lions, but really the Packers, are going to win 34-27.
All right. I'm still not sure what I'm writing down. So am I writing down the Packers or the Lions? The Packers
are winning 34-27, but I feel like I'm bad luck, but we'll see.
You picked one game. Relax. Dusty?
I'm going to go. So the one thing I will say that concerns me a little about this is the Packers are coming off what ended up being a little more stressful victory on a Sunday afternoon than I would have liked. They still, you know, a little banged
they
up.
They were on the road.
They were. Let me build. Sorry. It's still a stressful ending. It's a stressful ending. It came down the wire a little more. The little banged up. I don't know. I didn't see. Did either of you guys see? We didn't talk about this beforehand. If there's any word on Lindsley, if he's starting.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay.
I'm anticipating that he's not going to play. I mean, it's a concussion. Like,
yeah.
And it's on an offensive lineman. I mean, he gets his head hit every single play, I'm assuming. So.
I mean, I kind of liked what I saw. Like, I like Lucas Patrick. I thought he seemed fine. He's not as good
outside of the direct snaps. Yeah, he was good.
Outside the direct snaps. I don't know. Like, it's
no, he was. He was. He got thrown into a very difficult situation in Dallas. Like, that's a loud, loud place to play. And he was playing at the end of the game when it was the crowd was very into it. And he did his job well. Like, he blocked. Like, he took on multiple blockers. Like, he did a great job. I'm just toying around because there were two or three snaps that were wide right for sure. Yeah. But no, overall he did great.
But I mean, that is still concerning. I mean, you missed the center of your line. That's a little concerning. I don't know what the status of Davante Adams is. So I mean, you've got some guys kind of banged up, and the Lions are also coming off a bye week. That's kind of what concerns me. The Lions are going to be rested. They're going to be preparing for this game. That being said, I mean, I just talked about you, Steve. You talked about the game planning. I talked about the scheme. I really like where LaFleur is going with this offense. I like how it's building. I like what they've set up. I think what I like, I mean, a lot of times what I've talked about as well with some of the scheme stuff is, you know, you set up the short to hit the big. I've never really talked about the working backwards off of that, which is you threaten deep at just to set up the short stuff, to set up, you know, second and eight as opposed to second and two as opposed to like second and nine or something like that. Just to open that space to get guys to create, which is what he's been doing. And then you can build the deep shots then off of that as well. So I like what I've seen. He's obviously been building to something really, really well. Every week he's getting better. So even with the Lions having that week, I don't know how much that prep does for them, because I think LaFleur is still kind of building and molding that offense a little bit. So I'm going to go, I feel good, man. I feel real, real good. I'm going to go Packers. Slightly less than Sarah. I'm going Packers 30-27. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's coming down to the wire, but I feel good about the Packers' chances.
I'm digging it. The one stat that I've got is that the Packers have continually scored more points. They're building, so they're going up and up and up. And so there's one week, I think it was 27-27 in week 3 and 4, if that's right. But then they went up to 34. So I'm going to go with that theme. I'm going to continue on. The Packers are going to score 38 points. The Lions are going to score 24.
Oh, I like it.
So yeah, that is my, they are not playing a top 10 scoring defense again. Actually, that was one of the other stats that I saw that I really enjoyed. I think it was, find it really quick, but that the Packers, all of their victories have been against
a top 10 scoring
defense.
Well, and the Lions as well. I mean, what the Lions have done so well is create those takeaways. I know they've had three of their four games, they've had multiple takeaways, and I think 3 of the 5 games the Packers have not turned the ball over. So if they hold on to the ball, they should be able to win this fairly handily, I would think.
So all 4 of the Packers' wins in 2019 have come against teams currently ranked in the top 10 of scoring defenses.
So, Steve, if this trend continues with the scoring, are you just going to predict that they're winning like 60-21 by like week 9 or something? Or
until I'm proven wrong, yeah. I mean,
I like it.
Why not? Yeah. I kind of have to at that point. I mean, that, like it's just an upward tick. Like,
yep, 77 this week. That's right.
Aaron Jones can have 4 touchdowns, and then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers throws 2 touchdowns. We're gold. Like, it's good. It's all good. Yeah, absolutely. If they can score 60, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make any proclamations about when they score 60.
That's going to be next week. You've already got that saved up for next week.
We'll see. We'll see. But you never know. It could happen. It could happen. Mm-hmm. That rounds us out to our closing thoughts. So, Sarah, has anything percolated into your mind since you told us you didn't have any closing thoughts?
No, I don't have any closing thoughts today. Just go, Pat, go. Excited for the game, Monday Night Football. That's it.
All right, Dusty, tell me what you got going on. I know you got some articles, you got some other stuff going on, but what do you want to leave Packer Nation with?
I've had a big week, man. I decided to write a piece on Tuesday. That came out this past Tuesday, what I talked about before, kind of a couple plays we saw this past week that played off the Vitaly wheel, which one of my Twitter followers dubbed the cheese wheel, which I am a big, big fan of, and I'm just pissed I've not thought of that before. So Vitaly wheel's heretofore just forever now known as the cheese wheel. So I wrote about that. So kind of a short little I used to kind of do a couple articles a week, and one of them kind of more of a bite-sized film study in case you don't want to look at 6 plays. So this was 3 and kind of showing, especially highlighting this illusion of complexity. The 2 of the plays that we saw this past week were from the exact same formation, from the exact same personnel grouping, doing 2 entirely different things. So that was a really, really cool look, especially building off that Vitaly vertical. So that went up on Tuesday. I was on Lockdown Packers on Tuesday. I got to talk to Peter Bukowski, which was awesome. And then I've got today, Thursday, I've got kind of my main piece coming out over on Cheesehead, breaking down 6 plays, including Mercedes Lewis screen pass that I'm just way irrationally excited about. That's the number 1 play on there that I covered. That's amazing. Again, just kind of speaking towards what LaFleur has been building and now what we're starting to see run off of that, which has been awesome. And then a piece up on Packer Report on the 2 miscommunications between Rodgers and MVS that we saw this past week and kind of what they were seeing, why that kind of broke down. So yeah, big week. 3 pieces, this podcast and a podcast guest spot. It's been a good week, man. It's and victory week.
Killing it, dude.
Very good week. Thank you.
And you married some people.
And I married some people. And DJ'd that wedding.
You're a dudist.
I'm a dudist, man. I took a vow. I took a solemn vow to abide when I clicked that button on the internet. I said I will abide, and I am trying to hold to that, so.
You're living your best life possible, aren't you?
I certainly am, Steve. I certainly am.
Well, I will end things on a note where most Wisconsin fans, I'm sure, can follow with me. I freaking hate the St. Louis Cardinals. Amen. They suck. I hate them. They sit there with their holier than thou attitudes of like the baseball gods and, you know, oh, I didn't like that you
played the game the right way.
You hit a home run and you watched it for too long, or you didn't run around the base fast enough after you hit a home run off of us. So they do all of that crap nonstop. Yet Yadier Molina hits a sacrifice freaking fly to win the game. And then he runs over to first base, chucks his bat into the outfield, and does a throat-slashing sign. Like, I'm sorry. You guys all suck. They all suck. Their fans suck. I hate them all. I really hope they don't win the World Series. It's just so annoying that they can consistently do this whole, like, oh, no, we're the best fans in the world, and then they do crap like that.
Well, Steve, we've talked about this before. We're very much pro bat flip on this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
And I thought, like, taken in a vacuum, that bat flip was great. That bat flip was tremendous. But then you're also like, okay, Molina has legitimately started fights over people.
Over bat
like,
flips.
Yeah, over bat flips or doing, like, you didn't respect the game or whatever the devil, like, nonsense that they're running over there. So that was kind of that bat flip was cool. Coming from Molina, that's really ridiculous.
Yeah, I love bat flips. Like, give me all of them, because it just, it injects fun. It's like, it's celebration. Like, you know that the guys that are hitting the home runs are excited about it, and it's a good time. But off, I've never seen a sacrifice fly bat flip. I know it's a game four to win a game. That's exciting. But no.
What's the bat flip I'm cool with? I like the bat flip. I like the enthusiasm. I like the chucking. I don't like who it came from, given the history.
Or yeah, exactly.
Throat slash is like a little much. Like, I'm like, we got it. Like, we get it.
And then they came out and scored 10 runs in the first inning of game five, and I hate them even more.
Yeah.
Side note, if you got anybody listening has children, don't read the Cinderella book to your kids. I read that tonight to my daughter, and it was one of the worst stories that I've ever read, because you realize it's so, so horrible, and the prince is a creeper that has a foot fetish. So just do yourself a favor. Avoid the Cinderella story, because, you know, he's dancing with her all night. Doesn't remember her face, but remembers the foot size. Like, has that down to a T. Like, just avoid the whole thing. It's just bad. Like, all those 80s movies are not good, but... those are my closing thoughts. So
very uplifting.
That was kind of all over the place for you.
It was.
Baseball, bat flip, Cinderella.
People can see it, but he readjusted his hat legitimately 10 times. He's like running his hands through his hair in like agitation the entire time.
Yadier Molina really pisses me off. I'm not going to lie.
So mad.
I am still really pissed off from like – losing to the Cardinals, I think 2011, when they lost in the NLCS. I was at one of those games, and like, I got into it with some Cardinals fans, and like, it's still, I can replay it in my mind, and it still gets me going. Annoys the crap out of me.
My younger brother's father-in-law is a Cardinals fan, and he's one of the nicest people I've ever met, and also the only Cardinals fan I've ever met that I've liked.
I don't think I know a Cardinals fan. I know one or two of them that are actually pretty decent. But outside of that, most of them are Jags.
I'm a Tigers fan. I have no horse in the race, and I still don't like the Cardinals.
See? You're a smart man.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. What?
Look at that. All right. We just end it now.
No. See, the problem is we have to end it the same way we ended it last week, because the Packers beat Dallas in Dallas, and I have to say something I don't want to say to you, Dusty.
Rules is rules, Steve.
I know. I love you guys.
The pain that was on your face when you said that.
Just so upset.
Just made it that much better, honestly.
Yeah, I understand. It was one of those things. I was trying to mess with you guys when I did it last week, and then all of a sudden they won, and as soon as they won, in my head, I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm gonna have to do it again.
Now he's saying I love you out of spite, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, we'll take it.
That's like we've half been, the marriages in the
I'll
world.
Say Steve I mean. And I have been in a relationship for about a year now, so I feel like this is about time for that.
Yeah, the spite I love you, I think that's about right.
Oh, I think we're good.
Now you're just gonna get a, you know, next year you're just gonna get a card that'll say it, and that's it.
Okay, that sounds good. That's great, Steve. I look forward to that.
All right, well, we will talk to you guys next week. It should be hopefully a victory Thursday again, where the Packers will be 5-1, and we'll be talking about some fun stuff. So, Dusty, Sarah, it's great to talk to you guys next week. Make sure to follow them always on Twitter, at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch. Hit us with your Packers comments, your Oreo comments. Actually, before we go, I do have to say a special shout out to Dusty for giving me the gift of Aaron Jones waving goodbye to the Dallas defender while having the NSYNC bye 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 playing. My friend, that was outstanding. I appreciate it very much.
That's my way of saying I love you. I do it, I do it through actions, not words.
I was just going to say, I do it through words.
Well, it's very, very appreciated.
I thought you would enjoy that. I saw, I was like, I can't not do it. Steve mentioned this. Yeah, it came out really good. I was really proud of that one.
All right, well, we'll catch you guys next week. Thank you all, as always, for tuning into the Packaday Podcast, and you can always catch us at Packaday Podcast as well. So we will catch you next week Thursday, and as always, go Pack, go.